We are in the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles for 2013, and here's some songs that I'm going to just read for you here at the Feast of Tabernacles 2013 at the beautiful lake up in the mountains of Oregon. His banner over me is love, a song of songs, the song of Solomon. Messiah is the rock of my salvation, his banner over me is love. Messiah is the rock of my salvation, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He lifts me up to heavenly places. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Psalm 134. They've taken a song from Psalm 134. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, I will bless thee, O Yah. I will bless thee, O Yah. I will bless thee, O Yahweh. I will bless thee, O Yahweh. With a heart of thanksgiving and a mouth full of praise, I will bless thee, O Yahweh. As we are gathering together unto him, we are gathering together unto him. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We're gathering together unto him. From the book of the Revelation, this is not a song that I know of. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's the bride of Messiah, come to Messiah the husbandman, or Yahusha the husband, in Revelation 19. And his wife has made herself ready, so that's what we're doing, is preparing to live in the millennium, preparing not only to die at the end of a physical life, if the Messiah doesn't come the second time, but also preparing to live in the millennium. And his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. He said unto me, he said unto John, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of Yahovah. Verse 10b. And they have the testimony of Messiah, Yahusha. Worship Yah, for the testimony of Messiah is the spirit of prophecy. So it tells us here in the New Testament to worship the Father. The testimony of Messiah, Yahusha, is the spirit of prophecy. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, this is the Messiah on the horse, in righteousness he does judge and make war. Yeah, we've read that yesterday on the Feast of Tabernacles, day one. In the book of Isaiah, we will go to that, as well as First Chronicles. Here's First Chronicles 17. While we are turning there, I'd like to read from the book of Job. This is in chapter 22, verse 19 now, for all of you believers and feasties. Enjoying, or maybe you're having a afterglow of the Feast of Tabernacles, and so that's why you tuned in to the website for encouragement. I feel like we're back there and looking ahead as well to the great Feast of Tabernacles with Yahweh at his great supper, as we're all going to be gathered together as the Bride of Messiah. In 1 Chronicles 17, 4 and 5. Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith Yahweh, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. This, your spirit is the tabernacle that Messiah wants to tabernacle in. And come in and dwell and Sukkot in us. So Messiah in us. In fact, we're going to be reading that here in the book of Isaiah, going to chapter 7. First of all, to establish a basis about the Messiah, the Son of the Father, Yahweh, the Son of the Father. And Yahweh is the Father, Yahusha is the Son. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So we commemorate the birth of the Messiah at this time, at the feast. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Yahweh with us. There it is, Yahweh tabernacling with us. And also in Isaiah, quite a number of citations here. In Isaiah 8, starting at verse 8. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O people, and you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you of far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For Yahweh is with us. Yahweh with us. There it says Emmanuel in verse 8 and in verse 10. For Yahweh spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say you not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy, neither fear you their fear, nor be afraid. There's a lot of this fear about the internment camps and heads rolling. And it's an overemphasis. It's trying to incite in the believers a more of a spirit of fear than a spirit of joyfulness, that prophecy is coming to pass and that Yahweh is coming back. He's coming back to take his bride away and will rule and reign with him in that great millennium, which I believe will be at New Jerusalem, which some also say that they think they're going to go on to esteem in heaven first and then to New Jerusalem. So don't be afraid. Don't be worried, overly concerned about these conspiracy theories. Verse 13, set apart in pureness Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be a Mikodesh, or sanctuary, or set apart place, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense. The Messiah is the rock, and Yahusha is the rock, and he's a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, the northern and the southern tribes. The tribe of Yehuda is the southern tribe. For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon Yahweh that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Yahweh of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits. But they do this in Mormonism, and some of the, not to put all the Mormons down, but they do it there, seeking familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto Yahweh for a living, for the living to the dead? Also see 10:14. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And the next citation now is in chapter 9, about the Messiah once again. 9 verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. That's in Isaiah 9. And one of the reasons that we have reckoned the birth of Messiah at this October Feast of Tabernacles time of year is that it is believed that the Messiah, Yahusha, lived either 31 and a half years or 33 and a half. At any rate, we know that at the half year was Passover time when he died and rose from the grave. At, for example, 31 and a half years. So taking off the half year, or at least make it even to an even age of age 31, puts the birth date 6 months after Passover, which is at this time in October. Some keep it in September. But you could see Luke 1 and Luke 1, 46 through 54. We're going to look at those hopefully one of these days really soon. And some interesting scriptures that haven't been emphasized in a whole lot of time. Luke 1, 46 to 54. And then 67 to 79. But I wanted to do Isaiah for you tonight and just get the spirit of this. You could also read Isaiah 53 about the death, burial, and the resurrection. That might be appropriate because I was just talking about that. So I'll read a part of that that most people should be familiar with if they've been around the scriptures. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's no splendor that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he's taken all of our sins and laid them upon that offering. And we talked about the escape goat and the live goat in Leviticus 14, that the priest laid his hands upon the head of the live goat and offered it for a sin offering for all the people annually in those days at the Feast of Atonement. And we still keep that feast, but not in an Old Covenant way. So next reference is Isaiah, and you could read all that 53rd chapter. Isaiah 64. To the third and fourth verses. And here we go. But thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. Thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear. Neither has the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. So neither has the eye seen, O Yah, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. And if that sounded like 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is. It's but it's Isaiah 64. It's a parallel, almost word for word repetition of that verse. And now we're gonna, if you're reading the text of the sermon notes for the Feast of Tabernacles, second day, I'd like to skip the part about immersion, except to emphasize there that we do need to be immersed into Yahuwah. But we have a separate study about that. The apostle asked them, why tarry us now? Now, you know, don't tarry, but now go ahead and get immersed, or commonly called baptized. Acts 19 and Acts 22:16, for example. We talked about making ourselves ready, and so we're also emphasizing the position of the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, in Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. Now, blessings all the way around. Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of Yahweh that I will seek after, that I may tabernacle in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to inquire in his temple. And in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle offerings of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto Yahweh, or Yahovah. There's two different pronunciations there that are legitimate. Psalm 43, the 43rd chapter here, verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy separated hill and to thy tabernacles. We've skipped over Psalm 42. Is a very great one here during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we could read that on each day of the feast, Psalm 42, Psalm 81, Psalm 84. But Psalm 42 says, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so I pant after thee, O Yahweh, my soul pants after thee. My soul thirsts for Yahweh, for the living Yahweh. When shall I come and appear before Yahweh? Well, right now, during the feast, that's when you come and appear and come up to the place which he shall choose to place his name there. And ultimately, that'll be in New Jerusalem, in the New Temple. My tears have been my meat day or night and day, while they continually say to me, where is Yahweh? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of Yahweh, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept feast day. They kept the chag, the moeds. And Psalm 84 is another one of those. I said Psalm 81, but 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts. My soul longs, even fainteth, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yahweh. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. And you could look that up also in another version. In, for example, the Restored Scriptures, but better yet, the Amplified Version. Or even in this particular case, the Living Version, the Living Letters, or the Living Version. Now, to the next reading here, which is in Psalm 118, verses 14 and 15. And back to the Revelation. Psalm 118, 14. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of Yahweh. Yahweh has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise Yahweh. 24. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Yahweh, O Yahweh, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. And then that Psalm 118. And we could read all of Scripture, but we only have time to kind of focus in on, like a camera would, on these certain Scriptures. Revelation chapter 14 now. And those who worship the beast had no rest day or night. So I guess we can just make a reference toward that. But I think we're almost there. Okay. Okay, so it's 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest. Isn't that good to have a Sabbath day rest? But they have no rest, night or day, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Messiah. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yahweh from henceforth. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. A lot of people say all you need to do is just be saved and love, love, love. But here in Revelation, their works do follow them. And the Babylonian society under Hasatan is wearing out the patience of the true believers. And Messiah himself is separating the sheep and the goats, as we read there in Mark or rather Matthew 25 at one time. Well, we've all read that. But we're going to Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak. So this is the beast here. The evil one shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws. Where do we see that? Why does your day and the year end at midnight, according to Roman time? That nothing happens at midnight, but Yahweh's way, it happens at sunset. And some say it's twilight, but that's not a big change there. But the one to midnight is. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. So a lot of law breaking and changing of the scriptures around, twisting and mixing them around, trying to pull the wool over our eyes. But the bride is making herself ready. She doesn't care that others, well, we do care. We care that others are struggling along in ignorance. And I suppose they think we're in ignorance too, but here it is in Scripture, so it's black and white. It's in the Word. This is all in the Word, and it's just a matter of understanding it properly and harmonizing and knowing all the Scriptures that have to do with a particular subject, and harmonize that particular subject. Harmonize it until you understand it, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mark 10:40. Messiah said, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." We need to be getting our wedding garments ready and getting ourselves in spiritual shape and not falling into compromise, not falling into the 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, not falling into worldly ways and what I call evil, even regarding the media. And I've said quite a bit about, since I was in broadcasting for many years, I know a whole lot more about how the mind and the populace is controlled by the media than most people. I know a lot about the Catholic Church since I was in there for many years and even taught religion, so I know more than the average evangelical does when I make statements about that, but I am not the final word on things. 1 Corinthians 2:9, having said all that now, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. But Yahweh has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of Yahweh. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of Yahweh knoweth no man, but the Spirit of Yahweh." So we have to have the Spirit within us. Some people say, "Well, I have it," but if their acts, their actions, their behavior doesn't line up with what the Scripture says, then it must be a different spirit. And does that mean I'm judging them and that they're going to hell? No, I don't know that for sure, or not even close. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of Yahweh, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Yahweh, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Ruach HaKadosh teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." So back there a moment ago, I was talking about harmonizing the Scripture. We need to compare spiritual things in Scripture with spiritual things. Compare different places in the Word where that subject is addressed. And then we'll get the whole gist of, we'll get the bottom line of what it really is. But the tabernacle of Yahweh is very important. Next chapter now, 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know you not that you are the temple of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of Yahweh, him shall Yahweh destroy. For the temple of Yahweh is pure, which temple you are." 2 Corinthians 5. Very important. The tabernacle of Yahweh, that he is in us and that we are in the Spirit. His Spirit is in us. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 10. And then some more later. "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Yahweh, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So someday my tabernacle will be dissolved and my body will be. "We have a building of Yahweh, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He said there in John 14 that in my Father's house are many mansions. Behold, if it were not so, I would have he wouldn't have told us. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Like the scripture says, O death, where is thy sting? When we are trusting in the resurrection of Messiah, we are not worried about dying. It's just after that, when some of our loved ones pass away, especially those closest to us, that we probably have the hardest time with that, even though we know where they're going to be eventually, being in his presence, if they were righteous and trusted in Yahweh for their salvation, in the Messiah for their salvation. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing, so wrought means to do some work, like wrought iron, is pounded and tested, so he is working that works of righteousness in us. He has wrought us for the selfsame thing, and that one is Yah, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit, or the guarantee of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from Yahweh. Does that mean as soon as we die that we're going right to heaven, like the Protestants say? No, it doesn't say that here. It just says that if we're at home in the body, we're absent from him. And when we die, whether it would seem like a twinkling of an eye, but even though it's 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 years, say for the King David, Acts 2, still, there's got to be the time period according to Scripture, not what the common preacher off the street says. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with Yahweh. Well, I'd go along with that, wouldn't you? Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. Funny, people even argue that we wouldn't be before the judgment seat, but here it actually says that. And you might also look at 1 Corinthians 3:13 regarding that subject. This is not the great white throne judgment, though. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of Yahweh, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto Yahweh, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And then verse 17 of 2 Cor 5. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, or be in Yahusha Messiah, he is a new creature. A lot of the Hebraic say that, you're not just saved in an instant. It's a long process, and there's a lot of truth in that. But it says here, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. So we're not just that same old carnal person who walked into some church on Skid Row. We are a new creature when we are saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Even which building we might go into for fellowship. Should I go into this one here where they're partying and being rambunctious and drinking and playing cruddy music? Or should I go into a tabernacle where people are listening to a Mozart type of music according to the proper beat that coincides with our rhythms, our heart, our mind, that doesn't bombard us? Not all classical music is good, by the way. I wasn't trying to say that all rock is bad and all classical is good. I wasn't saying that, because that's not true. And I have studied that fairly deeply. Some of you music scholars may be a lot more. But Hebrews 9:11 and also 8, Messiah entered in once. So he entered in once through the veil for us, that our sins would be forgiven. Well, so why are we still acting like that he didn't, or that we aren't? Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum: we have such a high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the set apart place, and of the true tabernacle, which Yahweh pitched, and not man. And then chapter 9, 11, through a ways there. But Messiah being come a high priest of good things to come, good things yet to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the separated place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, set apart to the purifying of the flesh, how much more then shall the blood of Messiah, how much more then shall the blood of Yahushua Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, how much more shall he purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living one? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So no, I didn't do the Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and panted, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. For she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto Yah, and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Yah, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Getting any help? And there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and ha-Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of Yahweh, and the power of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brethren. Now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh has now fully come. The power of Messiah, the accuser of our brethren, that Satan, is cast down, which accused them before Yahweh day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Let's read verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh. I see also the book of Thessalonians, where it talks about the last days there. And blessed are those which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahushua Messiah. And then to Revelation 21, 2 and 3. And we're using the King James Version. There's also a version called the Restoration Scriptures, and these scriptures from www.isrmessianic.org. Revelation 21, and I saw, let's go to verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So here's this prophecy now. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so here is New Jerusalem coming down. Here, it seemed like after all of those things were done, after the wars. So yes, sister, I think you'd be right there, that the New Jerusalem seems to come down after the Battle of Armageddon and what have you, what precedes this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men. the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, or tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their mighty one. And we could add, reading on, Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Also read Isaiah 25:8. And Maranatha, may he come quickly, and may he be in your life right now. And that we could see that great light, that spirit within your temple where Yahweh dwells, Yahweh Almighty, and the Lamb in the temple. Oh yes, that we are in him and he is in us. We exalt him above all. Praise Yahweh. I want to pass you.